Welcome to the HR Chat Show, one of the world's most downloaded and shared podcasts designed for HR pros, talent execs, tech enthusiasts, and business leaders. For hundreds more episodes and what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.
Welcome to another episode of the HR Chat Show. Hello, listeners. This is your host today, Bill Banham. And in this episode, we're going to discuss the maturing of employer branding and how marketing and AI can be used ethically to help support it. My guest on the show this time is the awesome Stuart Potter, senior lecturer over at Anglia Ruskin University in Peterborough. Full disclosure here, Stuart and I were chatting for a little while about a webinar we're doing together next week as we record this, which has left us now with about 15 minutes to record an episode before we've got to jump. So it's going to be a rapid fire episode today. Stuart, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for a lovely quick intro there. As you mentioned, we're up against it with the time now, so I'll do my best to give you as efficient responses as I possibly can. I'll go back to my sales roots and try and talk as fast as possible.
Okay, we're going to do some rapid fire stuff. I'm going to challenge you to answer some of these questions in 60 seconds or less or something like that, and we'll have a bit of fun and cover a bunch of things. Just to start with, Stuart, you have been instrumental. Thank you very much in helping to organize the second AI summit in Peterborough ARU. This time it's at the new Living Lab, which looks like an amazing building. So we're super excited for that. It's happening February 4th. We've got a really cool lineup of keynotes, and we're doing a couple of panels. One of the panels I'll be moderating, and that's on surprise, AI and the workplace, AI automation and its impact on the world of work. The other panel will be moderated by your colleague, Tom Williamson, and that's going to be looking at AI and its impacts on education and society as well, to an extent. Beyond what I've just said, what have you got to add? Why should people come along to this AI summit?
I suppose the AI is obviously still the very newsworthy center of attention when it comes to things like operational effectiveness. I think the useful thing about the AI summit is a chance for business leaders to reflect on the impact that AI can have in a range of different business sectors, really. AI is such a current topic, and the chance for business leaders to sit and understand exactly where it might be able to slot in and what kind of impacts it might have can sometimes add, an event like this can add a bit of clarity to strategic thinking. Sometimes as strategic leaders, we know we want something, but we don't necessarily know why or how. And hopefully this meeting, this kind of event can help to provide some of that clarity.
And because we don't mind a shameless plug on the show, there will be a link in the show notes and in the associated article so you can register. Right now, listeners, you'll be delighted to hear that it's absolutely free and refreshments are provided. What more do you need in terms of reasons to join us on Feb 4th? The next thing I want to highlight with you, and then we're going to get into a bunch of questions, Stuart, that kind of relate to it, is a really cool program that you've been leading now for a little while. You started it last year. You're about to launch the second year's incarnation. You've kindly invited me to join the week one webinar, and that's Boost, which is Business Optimizing Online Skills Training. Tell us a bit about that program, who it's for, and what are some of the hoped for learning outcomes.
The program itself is designed to help mainly small and medium enterprises, but any business really, to use digital and technical tools, so digital adoption, tech adoption, and digital transformation, to hopefully improve productivity and drive growth. That's really the focus. So my particular background is in marketing and sales, and it's that sort of flavor that we're trying to help small and medium businesses to engage with. The program itself is designed around a series of themes, all within the concepts of tech adoption, but looking at particular business functions each week. So things like operational management, time management, managing remote teams, which is obviously a big area of concern for a lot of businesses at the moment, through to things like digital marketing, social media, the management of HR, data analysis, quite a wide range of themes, really, and all the while looking at how different tech tools can support that. The focus of the program really as well is on takeaways for business leaders, so practical tools, practical steps that can be taken. So hopefully each week we'll leave the webinars with a range of different tools and templates and next steps that businesses can adopt immediately those weeks. It's been brought to us by funding from the Peterborough and Cambridgeshire Combined Authority, which is fantastic. So the focus, obviously, of the programme is for businesses who operate within Cambridgeshire and Peterborough, or businesses that serve this community, which is really great. It's lovely to be able to sort of support the region.
We like those guys over at the Combined Authority. They are one of our partners for the AI Summit as well. So if any of you are listening, thanks very much, guys. Yeah, listeners, if you want to get involved with that, loads of great tools, pretty essential tools that you should be up to speed on will be covered in this course, including Google Workspace, Slack, Notion, Trello, Google Calendar, Doodle, Xero, Wave, Canva. I was in Canva earlier creating some promos for the AI Summit. Buffer, HubSpot, Zoho, Trello, Shopify, WooCommerce, and a whole bunch more. So be there or be a rectangle. Okay, continuing through, let's now ask you a few questions, if that's okay, which kind of relates to this theme and your expertise and what you teach over at ARU. Starting with employer branding, I've got a marketing background. I would often describe myself as a marketing person within the world of HR, and this is an area that particularly piques my interest. In your opinion, why does employer branding Why is it a tricky time to get it right? So, for example, we're seeing lots of people being replaced by AI, by automation. A few years ago, when I was recording these episodes for the pod, it was all about being the outstanding potential employer, being the employer of choice. The reality is now that employers aren't employing as many people. They're bringing in the automation and the AI. So how does that make the employer branding piece trickier, and what are some of the opportunities there?
Well, what's interesting is, as you mentioned, there's a lot of automation going on. So what we would often expect is for the labour market to be looser than it is. And actually, most businesses now are operating in quite a tight labour market where we're competing for the same skilled staff. And the simple matter is employer branding is quite a cost-effective way of creating a strategic competitive advantage to penetrate those recruitment markets, really. A lot of the businesses I work with at the moment are mainly, so obviously businesses are businesses, they're all going to be on either side of this fence, but businesses come to me and talk about how they are worried about losing staff to competitors, because at the moment businesses are finding their new recruits often from existing competitors. And on the flip side of that, obviously, a lot of the recruitment that businesses adopt is looking at how to pull in those skilled staff from their competitors. And I think employer branding, it used to kind of be a bit of a slightly less strategic tool, slightly more operational, contained within HR. And now with the tight labour markets and, a number of different statistics out there, I read a report recently that talked about 88% of recruits, of job seekers considering the branding of the employer branding to be something that's well, high up in their decision making. So I suppose at the moment, it's a tool that can really be used to penetrate the market in that way. Especially as we start to compete more heavily for skilled staff. AI at the moment, as mentioned in one of your recent podcasts on HR Chat, they talked about how AI is often looked at replacing some of those early career stages. So, I think the discussion was in the law sector, some of those early early roles are now being automated, same with things like auditing in accounting. So suddenly the recruitment, your recruitment cycle is very different. So rather than bringing people in early career, you know, where they might not have such an idea of who the players are in the market, suddenly our recruitment cycles are going to start later on in the career fields with more skilled staff. And we're going to have to try and convince them that us as an employer are the right choice for them.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the HR Chat Podcast. If you enjoy the audio content we produce, you'll love our articles on the HR Gazette. Learn more at hrgazette.com. And now, back to the show.
You're having conversations all the time with soon-to-be candidates, entry-level candidates, you know, the students who are graduating, looking to build a career. You just mentioned there that a lot of the efforts for recruiting will perhaps be on people who've got a few years' experience, got some of those skills in place already. What does that mean for those entry-level candidates? What does it mean for those students who are coming into the market? How do they build up their skill sets? What attitude do they need to get ahead sooner? And going back to that branding piece, a few years ago, it was all about the power was in the candidate's hand to choose a role they wanted to take, perhaps. Can they afford to be a little bit less picky these days? What does that look like?
I would say, yeah, definitely. So there's kind of a few points to unpick there, but definitely just looking at job roles as if they were leaving, there's a huge amount of competition. My particular faculty, business and law, we see 200,000 plus students across the UK graduating with degrees within these kind of faculty areas. So it's a huge amount of competition, and traditionally where they would have all gone into those graduate positions that still are there, but the competition for those positions is probably a little bit more fierce than it even was 3 or 4 years ago. The attitude, I think that's the key, the understanding of the marketplace. Again, having a sales and marketing background in things like career planning is really useful, because ultimately it's about understanding the customer. So in this case, you're the supplier as a new recruit into the market, and your customer are the potential employer. So you just got to understand what their needs are. So for example, at Anglia Ruskin, we augment our degree programs with opportunities for things like taking on internship positions, doing consultancy projects, working with client businesses so that they can build a portfolio of skills. Discussed again in one of your, I can't remember if it was a recent podcast on HR Chat or if it was a few months ago, but they talked about how a lot of these early careers would now be in the form of freelance and kind of almost gig economy, gig work. And I think that's, again, students have got to be, people who are looking at graduating or coming into those early career roles, whether they're from a degree or from early professional training, they now probably need to think, rather than think about being employed, the focus is on being employable. So it's on understanding what the needs are, what skills you need, how can you make yourself stand out, constant continuing professional development and reflection of your skill set. And it's going to be different, the sector. Rather than be more difficult or more challenging, it's just going to look different. I think that's the thing. AI and automation is sometimes seen as a little bit of a negative, but actually it might end up meaning that instead of having people going straight into administrative positions in HR or in sales or marketing, what we're going to have is we're going to have much more opportunity for decision making and creating innovative projects where the time and the skill and the capacity would have been taken up with more mundane tasks. Now we've got the opportunity to use that skills, use those insights for potentially quite exciting projects.
Excellent. We are almost already out of time. I can't believe this. Let's leave our listeners with some practical takeaways before I then ask you how folks can connect with you, if that's okay. In 60 seconds or less, Stuart. What practical tips can you offer to help improve our approach to employee branding in the next 90 days? Go.
So I'd say one of the main things to think about from a HR perspective especially is to sit down with your recruiting managers, heads of department, people who are on the ground seeing the trends, seeing the information, and trying to work out, asking them to list every tool where AI might be able to support those processes. So things like screening, chatbots, whether that's selection assessments, where we can automate communications. It's about trying to understand where AI can support the processes. And then what I would say, one of my one of the things from an employer branding point of view that will be really useful is within that group of people who are, I suppose, champions or guardians of the process, is to agree a small set of guardrails and then make sure that you communicate them. So if you're going to use AI, make sure that you know that it's never the sole decision maker. Make sure we are all agreed on how we're going to use AI and how it's going to augment and support the process, but not necessarily lead the process. I think that's a really useful process, understanding the applicant funnel, where AI can be used, and just make sure that we all still understand where we agree with the values, I suppose, of the organization, and how we can still communicate those, but still automate where possible.
Just a very quick follow-up on that. In terms of those guardrails, do you think the reality is at the moment in we're recording this episode early 2026, the expertise still isn't there amongst perhaps some of the leadership team in terms of understanding, you know, from a technical point of view, what's possible, what should be watched out for, and so on?
Yeah, so it's things like thinking about with regards to HR. One of the issues that we're seeing in recruitment, in AI use in recruitment, is where some companies are blindly using AI, for example, for filtering and selection. And what we sometimes see, if we don't have appropriate guardrails or really, really structured instructions for those AIs, you start to see things like biases. You start to see it starts to support its own patterns of thinking, and it doesn't necessarily allow for a slightly more nuanced way of looking at applicants. So what we would suggest in terms of guardrails is using AI for things like process automation. But when it comes to things like decision making, still the human touch might be slower, but is often much more valuable. And when it comes to things like the cost per hire or time to hire, or things like looking at the impact of appropriate recruitment cycles on things like retention within the first year, you will still see a lot more support for human decision making. And I think that's something we need to communicate to senior leaders, is that although AI has its place, there is still value in human interaction with data, certainly with regards to things like recruitment cycles.
Okay, very good. And then just finally, in terms of connecting with you, listeners, if you're interested in the Boost program, that is aru.ac.uk/study/professional-and-courses/boost. If you didn't get that, I'm sure we'll add that somewhere as well. Search for Peterborough AI Summit 2.0 to check that one out. Again, I'll put a link somewhere. Beyond that, Stuart, how can folks connect with you? Is that LinkedIn? Anything else that you want to share with them before we wrap up for today?
Yeah. So connecting through LinkedIn is absolutely great. I'm always keen to discuss with business leaders how the university and our students can support them. Coming back to that point about entering into the marketplace, we have some very keen students who are excellent learning, starting to develop their consultancy skills. So we're always on the lookout for businesses who can act as case studies and clients for us if they've got any issues. So contacting me through LinkedIn. So it's just Stuart Potter at LinkedIn. It's easiest way of contacting me and starting the discussion, really.
Brilliant. Well, that concludes our rapid fire HR chat today. I just want to add, firstly, thanks for being one of those people who listens to the pod. It sounds like you're genuinely checking out lots of episodes, and we always appreciate the downloads. Thank you very much. And just a general thank you to you, to Tom Williamson and the team over at ARU for continuing to support the growth of the AI summits that we're doing. It's a pleasure to work with you. It's a pleasure to work with Tom and the team. So thanks very much, and thanks for being my guest today.
That's no problem at all. Thanks again, Bill. If your listeners want me to go through a bit more discussion of employer branding, I'd be more than happy to come back and chat through with a little bit more time.
There we go, listeners. To be continued. That just leaves me to say for today, until next time, listeners, as always, happy working.
Thanks for listening to the HR Chat Show. If you enjoyed this episode, why not subscribe and listen to some of the hundreds of episodes published by HR Gazette? And remember, for what's new in the world of work, subscribe to the show, follow us on social media, and visit hrgazette.com.